The Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.
Well, for Harmac Holmes, I did catch up with Chris Scott during the week, and the medical sub was on the agenda. And, of course, everything Harmac Holmes done is defined by doing things the Harmac way. And I started off by asking, is there a sense of expectation Geelong should be again going deep into finals following the off-season arrivals of Cameron Higgins and Isaac Smith?
Well, we're trying to do that every year. That's always been our intention, at least in my time. That's the only time I can really speak to. But there hasn't been a year where we've started off the season thinking we should be managing expectations here because we're going to find it difficult. And obviously, sometimes things go against you. Sometimes you get some things a little bit wrong and it hurts you. But we've never started the season thinking if we got a lot of those things right that we couldn't be right there in contention. And I think the changes we've made to our list improve us, not just in the short term, but certainly in the short term. And then, you know, we're still pretty confident that we can be a good team for a while, but obviously got a lot of hard work to do to prove that.
Higgins, Smith and Cameron, how have they fitted into the group and your expectations and perception of them before they came in as opposed to the reality? Have you been impressed with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think that's matched up pretty well. We held them in high regard, obviously, so we had high expectations and they've delivered on that. And they have a skill set that attracted us. So we didn't really seek to change the way they play too much. I think that will evolve naturally over time, but the real challenge is building cohesion with the rest of the Cats players and making sure that they maintain their individual attributes but also fit into the team structure.
The addition of Cameron provides a great combination with Tom Hawkins. Tom Hawkins last week said he thinks it'll take a short period of time for them to be in sync and that synergy to be there. Is that something you agree with? But is it something you can fast track or will it just have to happen naturally?
I think it's hard to fast track the cohesion that they build in real games. I mean, even practice games don't do a great job of that. So I think it's reasonable to say that they will get better the more they play together. But our forward half, you know, across the last decade has been an interesting case study in the balance between sort of stability and cohesion and, you know, necessary change. And sometimes it's forced change, which is for the most part what we've had. We're optimistic now that we can have a group of players who can play together for a decent period of time. Obviously, Jeremy's got a lot of footy left in him. There's no ceiling on Tom's career from here on in. He's certainly contracted for 2 years, so they're at least going to have 2 years, in our mind. So, I'd love to think that in 12 months' time it's going to be an even better combination than it is now.
The off-season, a short one compared to previous years, usually 6 months between the finish of finals and a home and away game, this time only just short of 5 months. And for you personally, you take a lot of professional development, spend some time away from the club. Has this off-season looked different for you, Chris, in terms of your connection at the club? Have you spent more time than you normally would? Have you spent less time? How's it sat for you over the last 5 months?
It's been very different. It feels really short, to be honest, King. It was a hard year for everyone across the world last year. And it was important from our perspective that all our people got a good break. And I certainly took more of a break than I have in previous years. It was a bit easy because going overseas or studying was a lot harder to do, at least in person. And even though our football department took a huge hit in terms of salaries and headcount, we still retained almost all of our coaches. James Raley's gone to Adelaide, so he's going to make it harder for us this week, no doubt, because he's a very good operator. But I'm still in the position, I think, where I've got great confidence with a really good coaching group, and delegating to them is still the right thing to do at certain times of the year from my perspective. And they've done a great job again. So not too much has changed in terms of my role. It may well in the future, but now to this point, I haven't felt like that. The requirement for me to be more hands-on's exploded.
Yep. Was 2020 a good year for you as a coach that you spent more time around the playing group and were able to connect with your players differently to how you would normally in a normal home and away season where, you know, people are short on time and your connection, your time at the club and your contact hours are not significant, but when you're in a hub together, that you're having the water cooler conversations, and you know, I suppose finding out things about your players that you might not necessarily find out about them.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. Every club would have come away from the hub experience trying to learn the lessons, and I think my observation was that the good parts of your program got magnified. But the challenging parts or the pain points were magnified as well. So the point you bring up is an interesting one. It's great to have more kind of organic, casual conversations with people and sort of be thrust together. It's difficult to generate that in a normal circumstance. But there was always the great risk that everyone gets sick of each other as well. I'm a big believer that, this idea that, you know, coaches in their mid-40s should be great mates with 18-year-olds, I think, is a furphy. Like having a fake relationship is better than having a poor relationship, I reckon. But the point you make, I think it's a good one. It was we got the chance to be together. For example, if we chose to try to replicate that, it would just be impossible. How could we have 115 days together? For a start, we couldn't fund it. So we chose to take the positives out of it, and I think we've emerged a stronger club and a stronger footy department.
You fall just short. The final hurdle's the one you couldn't clear, and you were so close, 22 points up second quarter. How do you adjust the game plan? Will we see much difference to what the Geelong style was last year? You love to hold on to the footy and then, you know, and then get it moving once you've found the right avenue out of defence when it went into the opposition attack. And out of the middle, you obviously, if you could burst away through the likes of Dangerfield and Menegola and Guthrie, you did. Are we going to see similar in 2021, Chris?
I think it'll evolve. We always start every season with an open mind. And that's not to say that we don't have preferences and things we want to try. And there are some obvious things for us. I mean, the last year or two or three, we've been pretty consistently in the top few for attack and defence. And so it's not as if there's a glaring issue there, at least statistically. But maybe even last year, some of our centre bounce statistics weren't great. So there's the some of the minutiae there that what we're focusing on. But in general, what we're trying to do is play to our strengths. And when you bring new players in, sometimes your strengths can change a little bit. So, the obvious thing for us is we have evolved towards a team that controls the ball a little bit more. And I think that would be a problem if we couldn't score. But we've shown that we can score with that method. But it doesn't mean that we're not looking to play a bit quicker. But it's just hard to be really to forecast with clarity on how it's going to look because it just depends on so many things. You know, the opposition will play. Which group of players we go with in our back half in particular each week. You know, how Smith and Higgins change our ball movement. I think if I wanted to summarise it, we'd like to take the chances to play a bit faster when they're on.
Does that make my question about Mark Blitzarv's redundant? For a decade, it's been the great discussion point. Where is Mark Blitzarv's best position? I think we all agree that he's a premier defender and he's very capable at other positions on the ground. Would you like to settle him down back, or based on your previous answer, does it come down to opposition, flow of the game, factors like that?
I think every club's struggling a little bit with the shift to 75 rotations and back to the longer quarters, especially early in the year when the ball's flowing a little bit more. Generally, when the weather's better early in the year, there are fewer stoppages and it makes the transition game harder for ruckmen. And there's no better transition ruckman in the competition than Blitzarv's. I agree. I've always thought from the day he walked into the club that he'd develop into an elite. Oh, maybe I didn't think straight away he'd be an elite key defender, but I thought that would be his position. I think all our supporters can, even if they disagree with us, they can rest assured that it's something that our coaching group spend a lot of time talking about. We don't make flippant decisions when it comes to where we position him. And I think it's much more complicated than a lot of people probably give it credit for. But, yeah, in a perfect world, for me, he's a key defender because we've got two great ruckmen doing the job up the field.
I was going to say, when you hear external noise about team selection and positions on the ground, and I don't know whether you hear it or not, but if you do, is it where Mark Blitzarv's play seem to be the one that, you know, drifts past your ears the most?
I generally don't hear it, King. without, I mean, I guess sometimes I do because I do a couple of media conferences a week, and our boring media manager briefs me for those. So I'm sort of aware of it a bit, but we talk about it so much, and we've got high quality people, you know, Maddie Scarlett, Nigel Lappin, Matthew Knight's Corey Enright. They don't give me much time to listen to anyone else.
Concussion sub, or medical sub, as it is now, are you comfortable with it? And are you comfortable that it can be rolled out within, well, for you guys, 72 hours of being announced without too many dramas?
Yeah, I think sometimes we as an industry can over-dramatise these things. And I think fundamental change that involves taking options away can be really difficult to manage. But this is an addition for us. So it was earmarked a little while ago. I know it sounds really late, but I don't know whether there's going to be any hysteria around it, but I would try to resist that, and I think our club will try to resist that. We've got an extra mechanism there to help protect the health and welfare of the players. So from that, through that lens, I find it hard to argue with.
10 is a nice round number. So round one, 2021, marks 10 years almost to the day since Chris Scott first coached the Geelong Football Club. Do you reflect when you get to round numbers like that on the journey at all? Have you had a chance to go, gee, 10 years and where's it gone?
It feels like it's gone pretty quickly, King, so I think that's a good sign. And I guess in coaching terms, I'm still a very young man, and I feel as motivated as ever. But, you know, I think it's a Major League Baseball expression that, you know, a championship mindset is one that looks forward. And I've never found that hard, even as a player. I've just always been forward-looking. And to be honest, I don't really spend much time reflecting. I'm not that fussed about sort of where I sit in the scheme of things. I just want to look forward and service our footy club and our players as best I can.
Chris, always great to catch up with you in these one-on-one chats. We love the ride that the Geelong Football Club provides us on K-Rock, and we really appreciate you giving us some of your time ahead of season 2021. We wish you the very best of luck, and we can't wait as you can't for that bounce on Saturday afternoon against the Crows.
Yeah, thanks, King. We appreciate your support too, mate. It's going to be a great ride again.
And that's Chris Scott. Thanks to Harmac Homes, your dream, our commitment. Harmac Homes, everything Harmac Homes does is defined by doing things the Harmac way. That was Chris Scott.
The Harmac Homes pre-game interview.